This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good afternoon, everybody. Hello. I hope you guys are excited to be here as we are. Awesome. Cool. So this afternoon we're going to do it a little bit different to start off with. We've got a oldie but a goodie. So it's an old song, but I think for most of you it will be new. And for me it was so old I had to relearn it again. But the reason why we're doing this song today is because this week I went to somebody's house to go pick something up, and on their window, really big, was written, "My Savior Lives." In Dutch, but anyways, and I was just so touched by that, and it was a Dutch person, no offense, but I find that in this country, we also learn how to keep our religion very private, and it's difficult to be open about it, and I was just so like, I just thought, oh my goodness, can't I also be like that? And I thought, wow, if I have to write it on my window, I think I might be very self-conscious about it. I'm just not in that space right now. All the way home, I was thinking in the car, like, God, I just want you to make me so proud again of being a Christian. Not that I'm not, but I'm just not that. And I really feel like there's a space for us to grow in it, in this country. So, we're going to do the song and just hope that God stirs up our hearts so you can stand up. And I'm going to teach it to us, just the first verse in the chorus, and then we'll go from there together. Okay, so the first verse goes... Our God will reign forever, and all the world will know His name. Everyone together, sing the song of the redeemed. Okay, you know how it goes, so let's do it again once all together. Right, one, two, and. Our God will reign forever, and all the world will know His name. Everyone together, sing the song of the redeemed. Okay, you're having flashbacks of school again. Okay, so the chorus goes like this. I know that my Redeemer lives, and now I stand on what He did. My Savior lives. You want to try it with me? Let's go. I know that my Redeemer lives, and now I stand on what He did. My Savior lives. Next line, it's the same every day. Let's go. Every day a brand new chance to say, Jesus, You are the only way. My Savior lives. Okay, so now you know it. The rest of the song was a surprise. But it's pretty easy. So let's just pray and then we start. Father, we just thank You, Lord, that we can be in this place within four safe walls to declare Your name. But we also pray that as we sing this song, Father, You'll stir up our hearts as we continue the service as well, Lord, that we just trust today that You will come and remind us of Your greatness and of Your holiness and just how great and huge and amazing and powerful You are, Lord, and how beyond worthy You are to be declared in the streets and on our windows and on our bumper stickers and on our screensavers and on our statuses. We just pray, Lord, that You can stir us up to speak, to sing, to write, to state that You are our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. God will reign forever, and all the world will know His name. Everyone together, sing the song of the redeemed. I know that my Redeemer lives, and now I stand on what He did. My Savior,
His name, victory forever, is the song of the redeemed. I know that my Redeemer lives, and now I stand on what He did. My Savior lives. Oh, we sing it out. Every day a brand new chance to say, Jesus, You are the only way. My Savior, my Savior lives. Oh, You are. Oh, You are holy, Jesus. Oh, sing, sing. My Savior lives. My Savior.
Every day a brand new chance to say, Jesus, You are the only way. My Savior lives. Amen. You can take your seats for just a moment.
I just felt, you know, worship is not a moment, it's not a place, a time, it's everywhere, it's every time, it's every moment. And the scripture that backs that says that, Corinthians 1 verse 10, it says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And Christu was just talking about how the Old Testament, there was an ark, there was a place and a time of worship, and only who could worship. But when Jesus came, He changed all that, and it changed to that whether you accept Jesus Christ, that where you're standing right now is a place of worship. It's not that today we're worshiping in church and tomorrow at work we're working, but tomorrow at work it can also be worship. And whether you eat or drink, that scripture says, and something so simple as eating or drinking, something so basic, and He compares that to that giving glory to God. So when you're eating tonight, your dinner, just think about this. How are we worshiping God in this moment as I'm taking that big bite of my vegetarian meal or whatever you're eating? Let us worship in every moment. Yes? It's beautiful. And in our giving, in our serving, it's worship. Father, we thank You for this day, and we thank You that You've made it possible through Jesus Christ for us to worship You, to come into communion with You, Your presence, Father. And we do not take that for granted. And the word worship doesn't just mean singing, Father, but it is our action, our gesture of worship, Father, that whether we eat or drink, that it will be worship to You, Father. And we sing because we love You and we worship You, Father. Come and stir up our hearts today and bind us together as a church known to worship You, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. unshakable and hallelujah, God, you've done great things, you've done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave, you free every captive and break every chain, oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awaken alive. Oh Jesus, I sing your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. Oh, you have done great things. Oh,
sing.
Oh,
sing.
Oh,
sing hallelujah. Hallelujah, God above it all. Hallelujah, God unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. Oh, we sing. Hallelujah, God above it all. Hallelujah, you have done great things, you've done great things. Oh, hero of heaven,
you conquered the grave, you free every captive and break every chain, oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awaken the light. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. Oh, we pray. Oh Jesus,
we dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Stir us up. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. 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 Oh, let us dance, let us dance. We dance in your freedom.
You are hope, you are hope, you have covered all my sins.
peace when my fear is crippling. You are true, you are true, even in my wandering. You are joy, you are joy, you're the reason that I sing. You are life, you are life, in you death has lost its sting. And oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. You are more, you are more than my words will ever say. You are Lord, all creation will proclaim. You are here, in your presence I'm made whole. You are God, all for else I'm letting go. And Lord, I'm running your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. My heart will sing no other name, Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing no other name, Jesus. We sing Jesus. My heart will sing no other name. Sing Jesus. We'll sing no other name, Jesus, Jesus. And oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever. And oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your light of the world, forever reign. My heart will sing no other name, Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing.
Let's lift our voices and just sing Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, my heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus, my heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus. I come in simplicity, longing for purity, to worship you in spirit and truth, only you. And Lord, strip it all away till only you remain, 'cause I'm coming back to my first love. Only you, 'cause you're the reason I sing, the reason I sing. Yes, my heart will sing how I God. Sing with me, how great is is our God, and all will see how great, how great is our God. You're the name, 'cause you're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing, how great is our God.
Just the voices, let's sing. You're the name,
'cause you're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing, how great our God. How great you are, Lord, how great is our God. See with me how great is our God, and all will see
Let's sing it one more time, but let's just sing with everything in our breath. And how great is our God.
Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll sing how great is our God.
You're the name above.
Praise your name, Father. Your name is so great, so mighty and holy you are. We praise you, we praise you. Amen.
Now you guys may have your seats just for a moment. Amen.
So those who doesn't know me, maybe looking at me for the first time, my name is Banish. I come all the way from India. Of course, today I'm not coming from India. I live in Zeist. And I'm privileged to bring the Word of God to you. So I want to thank God first, and then, of course, Pastor Daikan and Rini giving me the opportunity to bring the Word to you. Before we go into the sermon, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful time, Lord. Thank you for reminding us once again, Lord, that yes, we have come here together to worship you. It's for you, O Lord. As we go towards hearing your word, Lord, I pray that each and every word that comes out of my mouth will be yours, Lord. Lord, I pray that I want to speak whatever you put in my tongue, Lord. Prepare the hearts, Lord. Speak to the person for whom you want to share this word, Lord. It might be the person sitting over here. It might be the person watching online, or it might be later on someone watching it, Lord. Lord, I pray that, yes, Lord, bring your word to those persons. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So last week, I was really surprised, like how, you know, the Holy Spirit works. I saw Darkian preaching about the relationship. And on my desk in my home, I had already prepared the word that today I'm going to bring is about our Father. And it's something which is just a bit of extension of the sermon that we heard last week. And yeah, it's so wonderful. When I was preparing this sermon, it was somewhere like maybe 1 or 2 weeks back. I was asking God, like, what you want me to share. And every time, my heart wants to share something, but God tells me, like, no, this is what I want you to share, you know. And this is what God gave me in my heart, is about the relationship that we have with our Father. We can call our Father. And this specifically God gave me to bring this to you, because there are a lot of people in today's world who are struggling to relate with this relationship, because they might had a very bad experience with their biological father, or maybe it might happen that maybe someone who is a father and he cannot relate because he thinks, like, I'm not a good father. And today we are going to see how we can relate to God as our Father and how we can enjoy the relationship with Him, you know. So we'll see a couple of scriptures throughout the Bible, you know, where Jesus said, our Father, you know. When I was preparing this sermon, and it was really surprising to me even that throughout the gospel, you know, Jesus called our Father 21 times to the people. When speaking with people, he said our Father 21 times. And also he called your Father 21 times throughout the gospel, if we look. So he is confirming us that we have got a relationship with God. He is our Father. And when Jesus is telling us your Father, that means he is talking about God, that he is also our Father, you know. And it's really amazing. I was thinking about the different religions that we have in today's world. I won't say that Christianity is a religion, but I would say the different beliefs that we have. God is so far from us. If you see, if you say, for example, if you look at the Buddhist, they don't have a relationship with God as a father and son. If you look at the Islam, they don't have a relation with Allah as a father and son. It's like a master and a slave, you know. And this is the only belief, this is the only relationship that we have got today through Jesus Christ. And we can call him our Father, Abba Father, you know. Different languages have different, names. In English, someone says Papa, Daddy, Father, Abba. In my language, we call it Baba, you know. So different languages have different names, you know. But it's one, it's our Father. And I would like to go to the first scripture of the sermon, which is taken from Romans chapter 8, verse 15. It says, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. This is amazing. When someone who is a new believer, when he is baptized and comes into faith, the moment he receives Jesus as his personal Savior, he is adopted as a son. And now he can call God as Father. He has a relationship with God as a Father, you know. And that's what it says. Before you come to Father, when we are full of sin, we are slave to the sin. We are slave. Our everything was slave to the sin. But when we are freed by the blood of Jesus Christ, We are new creation, and we have a relationship with God as our Father. We see now the term which is called adoption, you know. Adoption, if we look at the biblical times, you know, there that time also people used to adopt. Now also a lot of people does an adoption, you know, like they adopt someone, you know. And when a child is adopted into a family, he is given the same rights as the son who is there or the daughter who is there in the family. He is given the same rights. So, for example, if the father is going to bring maybe, two chocolates or one chocolate for one of his son, then he will bring another chocolate for the adopted son. So it's like they have the same rights. And that's what the scripture reminds us, tells us that we have got the same privilege, the same right, what Jesus had. He is our big brother. We see the next scripture, which is taken from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. It says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him." Isn't it amazing? We can be called the children of God, you know. The second verse says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." When Christ will appear on his second coming, we shall be like him, you know. And this is what I can relate it with the process of sanctification that we go through, you know. Once we accept Christ as our Savior, the process of sanctification. And this process of sanctification is like, you know, to become more like my big brother, which is Jesus. You know, I remember reading one book of John Bevere, and he said, like, I want to be that person when Jesus will come, people will see Jesus in me. You know, that's called the transformation, you know. And that is what it says here, you know, to appear more like Christ-like. We are his brother, you know. Sometimes it happens like when you are from a same family and you have brother. I don't have a brother, but when you have a brother or maybe two sisters, they look same, almost same. Like you can really recognize, like, okay, this two ladies or these two Janes are from the same family, because they might share the same look or maybe the shape or something, you know. So that's how our life should look like, you know, because our brother is Jesus, and we have the process of sanctification helps us to become like more and more like him, you know. Now, the next verse that I'm going to read is from Romans chapter 8, verse 7. And it tells us about the wrath of God which Jesus took over him, you know. So God is so holy, that not even something which is like we cannot see with our eyes, or even with something which we cannot see with the microscope, not even that much of sin he can tolerate, you know. He's so holy. And it tells us this over here, it tells us that how much we were distant from God, you know, and the wrath of God. It says, like in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, it says, "The mind governed by flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so." When we were in sin, we were very far distant away from God. We did not have any relation with God. And this happened with the when the first Adam, when he disobeyed what God had said him, you know, not to eat the apple from the center. And generally what happens is, like, I have my daughter, she is 15 months old. I can just relate it. If she sees something which is very new, she will be very excited and she will try to go. And you'll say, like, no, 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 no. And after 2 minutes, she will again go there. And again you stop her and again she will go there, you know. So it was something that God told, that you can have all the fruits of the garden except the tree which is on the center. But what they did is, like, they went and of course the Satan came in the in the form of snake and said, like, okay, you will get the knowledge if you eat this fruit, and you will be like God, you know, your eyes will open. And of course we as a human being, we like to get something which we really like, make us more big and more knowledgeable. And that's how the demon deceived him, you know. And that, from there, this sin came into the picture, you know. And we see everyone, as we read in the scripture, that everyone, each and every one, is fallen short of glory of God. We see now, when we were in the sinful, like when before we came to God, how we were. We see in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desire and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. And that's how it reminds us that we cannot judge someone when we see someone who doesn't know God, and then we say, like, ah, this guy, he's really a bad guy, he's a sinner, and I'm a very, you know, holy, very close to God, I cannot relate to him. No, that's not the point. And yesterday I was having the Bible School 3 session with Dakian, and there also we saw that the guy was telling, like, how Jesus was in between the sinners and he was making the difference. And that's what it should be, that we should be different from the world so that we can make the difference. And yeah, this is what now reminds me of last small group that we had, where we were discussing about we are the salt and light of this world. And if we lose the test, like if a salt loses the test, then we don't have any value, you know. So we should really think before we judge someone. And this reminds us that how we were dead. You know, if someone dies, something, say for example, I haven't had any experience with dead bodies, but I can say that I have a lot of experience with meats which are rotten, you know, because I have sometimes meats which I kept not in the cooler, like in the where you put the meats, but sometimes I just forget and keep it in the normal fridge where you put vegetables, and then after 5-6 days you get the smell, you know. So that's how rotten we were before we came to God, you know. That's how rotten we were, and that's why it says that we were dead in our transgressions and sins. Now we see that during the old times, during the when Jews, they used to call with God with different names, you know. And I have listed down these names which I've got from the Bible. And these are the names that they used, you know, depending upon different situations while praying, you know. Like, for example, Jehovah Jireh, they call it the Lord will provide, that means. Then they used to say Jehovah Shalom, which is the Lord our peace. Then Jehovah Sama, the Lord is there. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. They used to use different kind of names to relate with God in different kind of situations when they used to pray. You know, they used to call out these names. we see Jesus was the only first person who started using our Father, my Father, you know. And that was one point which the Jews were very angry, because he was calling him by Father. And we see in Luke where Jesus first used the word which is like our Father, you know. We see in Luke chapter 11 verse 1 and 2. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. This reminds me of my last sermon when I was talking about, where I was sharing that when disciples saw Jesus, he was praying, it might be so wonderful that they were waiting for him to end the prayer, and they will come and say like, Lord, teach us to pray, you know. Like, for example, the example that it keeps on coming on my mind is, I have never played basketball in my life, and my daughter, I am for sure, will never come and tell like, Dad, teach me how to play basketball, because I have never played with it, and she will never see me playing that, so she will never come. But we see the prayer life of Jesus. There might be so amazing thing was happening that the disciples were so excited that they were waiting for Jesus to finish the prayer, and they will come and say like, Lord, teach us to pray. And there it says, you know, it says, oh, wait, did I miss it? Okay, yeah. In verse 2 it says, so he said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven. Each and every one, I think we know the Lord's Prayer, you know. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is heaven. This sentence really made a change in the environment when Jesus said, our Father. Disciples were waiting to see what, because when Jesus used to pray, he used to pray in a very isolated place. He used to isolate himself from the rest of the crowds, from his, you know, busy schedule, and go somewhere alone and pray, you know. So these disciples were thinking like, what he calls God, you know, let's listen to him so that we can use the same, you know. And then Jesus says like, our Father, which is really amazing. He says like, it is not only my Father, it is your Father. He is your Father, you know. Now we saw like the personal relationship that we can have, how personal relationship we can have with God. If you look at all the beliefs, there is not a single belief in this world where you can relate to God as your own Father, as your Father. We know our biological father is very limited, you know. I am a father. I am very limited. I sometimes don't understand what my daughter wants, or I don't sometimes understand what she needs, you know. But our Father, God, is so close to us. He created us with his hand, and he has breathed in us. In our lungs, we have his breath, you know. And this makes us so close to him that he knows everything. That's the personal relationship that we have with him, you know. And now we will see something which is, it's not only a personal relationship, it's a permanent relationship. It's something which cannot be broken. I remember when I was preparing this sermon, and we see when we look at the Bible in the Old Testament, we see the covenants, what God has made with the humans, you know. Lot of covenants, like for example, with Noah, then with Abraham, you know, lot of covenants were made. But each time God was making covenant, it was the human side, from human side, that human were fallen in sin, and they used to break the covenant somehow, you know. And that's why we see that Jesus came to this world and he made a covenant with the human beings, which is something which cannot be broken, which neither me or God can bring. And covenant is something, it's kind of a contract which cannot be broken, you know. And before Jesus came to this world and gave up, you know, his life, the covenants that we see in the Old Testaments were, you know, used to get broken. Like, for example, people were fallen in sin, and like if we see the Israelites, like they were called stiff-necked. God was calling them stiff-necked because every time God was taking them out from a situation, which is like, for example, the Red Sea, when he parted the Red Sea for them. It's amazing, like, how God was working with, you know, walking with them and leading them. And still, when there was something coming up and people used to complain, people used to say to Moses, like, ask your God, why did you bring us to this desert? We could have stayed in Egypt and eaten a lot of things, you know, instead of just dying here without eating anything, you know. So that's why God called them stiff-necked. And this is what happens, you know, like when the covenants were broken. But God gave us a final solution, the permanent solution, which is Jesus, you know. Through Jesus, we can come to God and we can share the relationship, what Jesus shares with God. And it's a permanent relationship. And we will see a few scriptures which confirms, you know, that it's a permanent relationship. The first scripture that we see is John chapter 10, verse 28. It says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. This is amazing, right? When we think, just few scripture back when I was reading Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, where it says that we were dead in our transgressions, you know. We were so dead. But it's I can say, like, a word which is coming now in my mind is euphoria. So what happens is, like, when you work in a corporate, in an agile or scrum way, every end of the sprint you have a retrospective, you know, and they will sit with the whole team, and then people will share their experience, how the whole 2 weeks went, you know. So for some people it is like they will complain, or some people are okay, moderate, you know. So there is a status which says euphoria. For some people it was so amazing, so excited, you know. It reminds me of that word, because when you look at the scripture where I read from Ephesians, it says, as for you were dead in your transgressions and sins. We were dead in our sins and transgressions. And then when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, we are not only saved, but we become the children of God. We share the same relationship that He shares with God. You know, we become His son. And the adopted son, you know, in the old times, the adoption used to happen like, if you are adopting someone, you cannot disown that. So say, for example, I have one son and I'm adopting another son. If something happens with both of them, I cannot disown the adopted son, but I can disown my own son, you know. So adopted son is something which is like a permanent relationship that we have today with God, you know. And we can relate to Him as our Father, which is very exciting. When I was, it's really something like, okay, we are dead in our sins. Now we are saved. That's cool. But it's super cool when we were in sin and now we are saved and we are the children of God. Isn't it super cool, you know? So it's, we become His son, you know? Yeah. Now we see that He is not only our Father, but like a father can be someone like who is sitting at a distance, maybe in some other country, and then he's calling you and saying, okay, hey, how are you? Are you doing good? Do you need anything? If you don't need anything, okay. Okay, if you are a student, then I can send you some money in your bank account. That's all, you know. So it's not about that relationship, but God is so close to us, and we have such a personal relationship that He knows our needs. Before we come to Him with our need, He knows what we need, what we desire in our heart, you know, what we are going through. Sometimes we press on the material needs, but He knows our emotional needs. Emotional, what are we going through, the emotional needs, you know, He knows it very well. And that's what we see in Romans 8 verse 28, it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." And I would say everything that happens in our life, given the condition that we are called by His name, everything happens according to His plan, you know. When we walk according to His will, if God says you something and you are ready to do it, and when you start walking according to His will, everything that happens in your life happens according to His will, you know. Nothing can come to your life which He doesn't want. Everything has to come through Him, you know. And like, for example, in Luke chapter 12, I don't remember the verse, it says like, He knows your needs. He knows your desires, you know. So, yes, when we walk according to His will, according to His plan, everything that happens, happens according to His will, you know. He knows everything we are going through. And now we see a scripture which sometimes it happens that we try to frame God and His ability in a box, you know. And sometimes it might happen to us, we might think like, you know, this is not going to work. You know, I don't think this is not possible. And if God wants, that is possible. And we don't think about that. We think like, okay, no, we think just, you know, in a worldly way that this is not possible. This is not going to happen, you know. I just want to look at this scripture which confirms, you know, which confirms it. It is taken from Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. It says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" All the authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Isn't it amazing that our big brother has all the authority on the earth, you know? Why are we then scared and worried? Why are we then tossing on the wave fearness or any kind of thinking what will happen after 5 years, or maybe it might be related in our personal life or anything, that why are we tossing? Because it confirms us that He knows everything. He has the authority. And it when I was preparing this sermon today morning, when I was sitting to look at the scriptures last before I come to the church, it reminded me how beautiful it is that we can rely on Him so much, and He's so powerful that He has spoken this world into existence. Just He spoke and things happened, you know. So how powerful He is. If He can part the Red Sea into two halves, then He can do anything in our life, anything. And that reminds us of our Father's ability, you know, how much able He is. Now, the next scripture that I want to see is Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. And it says, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And this says, when, like for example, when I think we saw it in Romans, that everything happens according to His plan, according to His will, you know. So when we are called unto His, you know, in His name, He is there to the end of the age with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Of course, if we look at the human relationships that we have today with our father or anyone who is very close, it's limited. It's for a time being, you know. And it might happen that if you do something or if something happens, then the relationship is broken or that person will leave you. But our Father is telling us today that He is with us till the end of the age. Next we see what, now we saw that how we can relate our relationship with God as our Father, and how much He is responsible. He knows our need, and He has the ability to help us and, yes, to be with us. Now we see, we want to see how, what's the role from our side, what we need, you know. The first thing that we need is to have faith in Him. It's we can look at the scripture, which is Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to 23. It says, "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them." So it's a confirmation. It's saying, if we have a faith which is compared to a mustard seed, and if we say a mountain to maybe move from that place, it will be moved. But you have to understand that tomorrow, if you say that let's move this building from here to there, it's not going to happen, because it should be the will of God. It should be that you are walking according to His plan. And something which is blocking when you are walking according to His plan, that blockage will be removed. Sometimes it happens that we have to declare it, with physically with our, saying. And sometimes it happens that when we are walking, that blockage is removed automatically before we reach to that point. And again, I want to see in Romans chapter 10, verse 11, it says, as scripture says, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. And it's very real, you know. I can testify a lot of moments where I felt that God is telling me to do this thing, and I have done that, and I was not put to shame. Maybe at that moment you might feel like this is a very awkward situation. This is very awkward. Who does this, man? I mean, people might think that this is crazy thing, you know. But He will never let you to be shame in front of the world. Of course, people might speak to you, because scripture says that this world doesn't know you because He doesn't know Father. How can you love the Son when you don't love the Father? You cannot love me if you don't love my Father, right? The second thing is that to have faith, and the second thing is that to be faithful, you know, when He says something, to be faithful. And it happens like when God says us something, we really try to see like, okay, am I qualified, or can I do something? Can I speak, you know, or can I pray, you know, kind of like that. But when God gives us a task or a particular assignment or something, He just wants us to say, yes, God, I want to do. Yes, that's all. And everything is done. Everything will fall into places, you know. To be faithful, that's why we see in Luke chapter 12, verse 31, He says, but seek the kingdom of God, and all things shall be added to you. So what does it remind us is that God's business, what God wants, His things should be the first priority in our life. We are humans. We sometimes make mistakes. We misplace our priorities, you know. And when we misplace our priorities, we miss that goodness of God, that the best thing which He has kept for us, you know. And this reminds us that when we prioritize, like His business should be our first business, everything works for the best for us, and we see the best thing in what we do, you know. And the third thing that I want you to remember, and it reminds that when we are having a relationship with God, and sometimes it happens that knowingly, unknowingly, we do some mistake. And when we do some mistake, there is a part where the Holy Spirit will convict you, and He will ask you to come and ask for forgiveness. And there is another part, the demon, where He will say, like, oh, you have done a great sin. You should not go back to the Father. You should not forgive. He will not forgive you, you know. But Bible reminds us today that even in our situation where we have failed Him, where we are not faithful, He will be faithful to us. And we see in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, it says, if we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. He cannot do that. He is faithful always when we are fallen, or when we don't have a, you know, when we don't do something, or when we do the opposite of what He wants, or we are full of, we have done something wrong. He is always faithful. And if we come back to Him, and if we ask for forgiveness, He is faithful to forgive us, you know. This was the end of the scripture that I had today. And today I want to challenge you that if you are battling to relate to God as your Father, if you, after listening, that like, oh wait, I mean, how can I say God as my Father? Maybe you had a bad experience with your earthly father or your biological father. I'm inviting you today to come and share the same relationship that Jesus has with the Father. If anyone is here or maybe watching online, if you think that you cannot relate and you are battling with that, please raise your hand. Don't lose this opportunity to come, and so that we can pray together and come into this relationship where we can share the same relationship that Jesus shared with the Father. Amen. Thank you. Thank you that there is no one. Second thing, if you think that you can relate to God as your Father, can you challenge yourself today and say that His business are my first priority? If you can say, then you can sit, if you can say like, no, I cannot say that his business are first priority, you can raise your hand, we can pray together. You don't have to be ashamed of it, because it happens with me that I also don't regard his business as my first priority. We are human beings. We may fail him, knowing unknowingly. It's open for everyone. If you want, then you can raise your hand if you feel that his business is not your first priority. Maybe you can come forward and we can pray together. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, let's pray together. I want each and everyone to open up your mouth and pray. Let's pray together, you know. Father, we thank you for this wonderful time, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us through this sermon, Lord. Lord, yes, we admit it, Lord, that sometimes it happens knowingly or unknowingly, Lord, that your business, your task, or your assignment, or your plan is not the first priority in our life. We misplace our priorities in our life, Lord. Lord, we come right now to you. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive our sins, Lord. Lord, so that we will walk according to your plan, so that we can share the same relationship that Jesus has. Lord, you are faithful to forgive us. Lord, to whom we can run, to whom we can go, Lord. You are the Father. You are our closest one. We can speak to you, and you are always faithful to listen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your grace, and thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you. Thank you. The third point that I want to challenge you today, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you have a need in your life, I don't know about you, but in my life, there is always a need. It might be a material need or maybe an emotional need. If you have something that, please, we will have Renee and also Darkan, you can come and pray with them. Don't lose this opportunity. That's all. Have a blessed week.
We're still going to have a few songs, but if you need prayer for healing, for anything what Banish has been talking about, don't leave this building and come for prayer. Thank you.
So while we're singing, you're welcome to go for prayer. Or just sit and listen to the words or sing with us. Just remain in this atmosphere of worship.
And I love you, Lord.
is to know you more, to be found in you, and known as yours, to possess by faith what I could not earn, all surpassing.
Found
are so thankful, Father, for this blood and the body that was broken for us. Without this, there would be no communion with the Father. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides us, leads us. And we thank you for the precious sacrifice of Jesus. Amen. We bless your name. Amen. Amen. We will close it off here. If you still want to sit, we'll still sing one song. But be welcome to also drink coffee in the back.
Sing my soul of the sin.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.